Eleusis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Eleusis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today? The fourth ray of harmony through conflict. That certainly sounds like a paradox. And before we begin, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Eleusis Trust organization. And Eleusis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. And the following thought, by the way, comes from the works of Alice Bailey. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities of divinity are the seven rays. The fourth ray is called the ray of harmony through conflict. Shouldn't it be possible to have harmony without conflict?
It should, in the best of all possible worlds. But this being Earth, which is populated by human beings, apparently the answer is no. Mm-hmm. The way we seem to learn is through means of evil, that good is best, as some very wise person said. We've talked in the past about the spiritual importance and significance of friction. The experience of friction, of desiring one thing but experiencing its exact opposite or its discordant partner, seems to be how our world evolves, not only among human beings, but I guess among all the kingdoms that inhabit it. That's how forms are refined and perfected, through the experience of friction. And that's why the ray of harmony through conflict is such an important and significant conditioning ray, especially upon humanity. But it's important to remember, as we've said in past discussions of the seven rays, that these are seven expressions of the nature of divinity, the nature of God. God expresses his essence in a sevenfold way, and harmony through conflict is an utterly benign and divine energy.
And it's a necessary energy, too, because it comes sort of in the middle of this whole sequence of the seven rays. There are three above and three below, and it's the fourth ray that kind of governs the interlink or the connection between. And so it's a necessary stimulus, because this fourth ray is a type of energy which tends to produce a crisis in a person's life, and thus a conflict. And this is often necessary to move a person out of a state of complacency or inertia, if one is in that state. And it's the prerogative of the soul to provide this kind of conflict. And it's a necessary force, because it brings the personality into relationship with the soul energy, and this tends to produce certain crises.
I think one of the most deadly states of being to the life of the spirit is inertia. But it's so comfortable to get all comfy, get everything arranged just the way you want it, get all your ducks in a row, so to speak, and have everything nice and comfortable for the personal self, and then inertia sets in because there's no conflict, there's no prodding to move forward in aspiration, no impulse to move beyond one's present circumstances. So contentment is actually, as I understand it, sometimes the very thing that the life of the soul needs least of all. And yet we all seek after it. We all want to be content. There is a kind of contentment that's of a higher grade that accepts whatever life offers in the sense that it recognizes everything that comes our way is for the purpose of evolution and for learning. But the kind of contentment that is self-serving and that keeps the separated personal self happy as a clam and yet indifferent to the need of the world and the responsibilities of his relationships and the need to grow beyond his present spiritual understanding, that kind of inertia would come out of the lack of friction, the lack of conflict. So there's something very spiritual and very beneficial for a very long stage of the spiritual path about conflict. Eventually, rightly resolved, it results in harmony, but the kind of harmony that's of a much higher grade than just personal contentment. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and during that time, that's a very difficult time to get through. It may last several lifetimes, perhaps, but eventually one comes out on the other side if one can persist. It's like it says with St. Paul, Paul of Tarsus, having done all, to stand and to persist. And because in the beginning, it tends to produce, this energy in particular, tends to produce a sense of isolation and despair and perhaps a great sense of inadequacy, because the light of the soul is beginning to pour in and you begin to see just how inadequate you really are, at least in your personality life. But then this energy also produces a determination to stand like the warrior within you and eventually achieve alignment and integration with the soul.
We have talked many times about the Bhagavad Gita, that ancient Hindu text that is such a beautiful spiritual scripture. And it seems to me that the Bhagavad Gita is strongly fourth ray in nature because it concerns a great epic battle that took place in ancient India. I don't know whether there's any historical aspect to that battle, do you, or if it's entirely mythical?
No, I think there was, well, perhaps, you know, thousands of years ago, there was a battle, an actual big battle on the plains of Kurukshetra, as it says,
yeah.
And but it's really a metaphor, or it's a learning tool to use that battle as the battle that goes on within the personality.
Yes, it's a metaphor, as you say, and it has as its theme throughout the struggle of Arjuna, the disciple, the seeker, who is forced to take sides in the battle, but he identifies with everyone who's in conflict on both sides and doesn't know where he should align himself. He wants to sit on the fence. But Krishna tells him, you must make a choice. You must choose. And this is the struggle of the fourth ray, to so desire harmony that the conflict, in fact, is enhanced by one's longing for harmony. It doesn't actually contribute to achieving equilibrium. It, in fact, disrupts the imbalance even more. And a lot of very well-meaning people, I think, don't realize this in their refusal to take a stand. As Paul said, having done all to stand, their refusal to take a stand and their desire to sit out the conflict actually prolongs the war. And that's why it's such a significant ray that governs really the whole of humanity on the soul level, according to the writings of Alice Bailey. The soul of humanity is governed by the energy of harmony through conflict.
Right, and that's why there's probably so much conflict in the world today, because I think there is a great awakening among millions of people in the human kingdom, and this is awakening the mind to new possibilities, and so there is a great struggle going on. And this is producing a lot of the disruption and chaos in the world.
It can lead to an emergence or an awakening, as you describe it. But that's only if the mind is brought into the battle. Most battle takes place on the level of emotions, because there's desire involved and there's repulse, attraction, and unattraction. Preferring one thing over another, that all of that takes place on the level of the emotions. But the mind, when that's called into the battle, it can perceive the various elements that are at war, and it can make choices, and it can also identify a point of unity. And I think a little hint of that might be seen in the urging today to find what's called a third way. We see it in the political field in a very preliminary expression in what's called the third way that Tony Blair and even Bill Clinton seem to promote. Too often that third way at present is just kind of a compromise that doesn't really stand for much of anything. The higher third way would be a point of unity that would transcend the opposites and find a unification.
And that's the picking up on that very impulse to of the middle path, the middle way between the pairs of opposites, and that's a very deeply spiritual impulse to follow, because it gets right down to the core of our being here, and the reason for our being here is to find that middle way, because that's the only way out of all the chaos.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict. And we have a special offer from Luce's publishing company today. It's a book, one of the Alice Bailey books, The Seven Rays of Life. And now, The Seven Rays of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey, and that makes things for you a lot easier, those of you who have become students of Alice Bailey and you really enjoy it. This is a way of making your reading a little bit easier, because if you're interested in the rays, which has been our subject for a while now, you can get this compilation, which brings all of the information about the rays into this one book, rather than perusing all of the books and looking for the information you want, which is quite a research task. So this book, The Seven Rays of Life, more or less brings all of the information about the seven rays into this one compilation from all the 24 books by Alice Bailey. And chapters include an overview, chapters of The Seven Rays of Life include an overview of the seven rays, the rays in world affairs, the rays in human development, the spiritual path in the rays, and ray methods of service, among many other topics. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, and it's available for $15. So all you need to do is send us a check or money order for $15 to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Please write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So that's The Seven Rays. The special offer is The Seven Rays of Life, a book by Alice Bailey, a compilation, available for $15. That's a check or money order. Send the check or money order, $15, to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Luce's is L-U-C-I-S. And also, a lot of times people try to get in contact with us, and you certainly are welcome to do so. If you want to order cassette tape for $15, or excuse me, for $5 for a particular show, or you need a schedule of our meditation meetings or a package of general information, give us a call at 1, that's our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And you could also go to our website, and on our website you'll find a lot of information about the LUCIS Trust organization, and LUCIS Trust, once again, sponsors Inner Sights. You can find a whole library of archive shows that you can take a look at, and you can listen to them. And our website is www.lucistrust.org, and click on Inner Sight. So once again, it's www.lucistrust.org, and click on Inner Sight. We appreciate the help and the support that you've given us in the past, and we hope you continue to give us support. That's what keeps us on the air, and we really value that. And it's difficult sometimes to meet these payments, and certainly you've been very generous. Please continue to do so, and remember that we're not endowed. The only people we're endowed by is you when you send us donations for these radio shows, so we depend on your donations, both large and small. So please give if you can. Once again, our phone number is 1-866-695-8247. If you have a donation and want to make a donation, send it to LUCIS Trust, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Well, you've answered the question about it being a the paradox that I first started the show off. It certainly is a paradox that we can find harmony through conflict, but enlighten us further on this.
Well, there are many aspects to the fourth ray that I think almost every human being would find familiar because, as I said, the human race as a whole is governed by this this conditioning energy of harmony through conflict. Like all the seven rays, it has a higher expression and a lower, depending on how pure an instrument, we could say, how pure a receptacle the individual might be or not. In someone who's not particularly evolved, to use a judgmental word, this ray of harmony through conflict would probably promote a quarrelsomeness, an aggressiveness, or the opposite polarity, a passivity that doesn't really enter into human activity or relationships at all. And yet, behind that tendency toward conflict or toward sitting out conflict is a deeply creative urge. And often the fourth ray is thought of as the ray of the artist. That's not really correct, because artists of all sorts are found on all the rays. But the fourth ray does endow an urge toward creative living, we could say, and toward an aspiration for beauty in whatever mode of living or field of occupation one might find himself. There will be a tendency to create beauty and to live with a kind of creative spirit. The approach toward problems would be that every problem has a solution. Whatever circumstance one is in, one can use it to transform the situation into something better. That's creative living, and that's very much a part of the fourth ray.
Yes, and it's also said that this fourth ray is related to artistic expression and the creation of beauty. And it comes out very strongly in music, and particularly in music where there is a full of melody. And I often think of Puccini, for example, and the beautiful melodies that he writes in his operas, Madame of Butterfly and Tosca and Turandot. They have great, great, beautiful melodies.
And Italy itself is governed by the fourth ray, isn't it, on the level of the personality.
So these great Italian creators of music, and also it's said that Leonardo da Vinci was also along the fourth ray, and as well as Shakespeare. So these great creative artists have a very strong tendency or a very strong expression of this fourth ray of harmony through conflict in their makeup. And it comes out in their work.
There are other aspects to the fourth ray that we can see in nations, if not in individuals. The love of color, which is an expression of beauty, is very predominant in the fourth ray temperament. And India, interestingly, is governed by the fourth ray, according to Alice Bailey, on the level of the personality. And I think of India with the blazing colors of the saris and the saffron robes of the monks and so on. There's a colorfulness to that culture that, to me, is really beautiful. Germany and Brazil are said to be governed on the level of the soul, which would be the level of consciousness towards which a nation as a whole is evolving. Every nation, like every individual, has a higher self and a lower self that is expressed. And the fourth ray soul is seen in Germany and in Brazil, we're told. There are other aspects to the advanced or evolved nature of the fourth ray. It gives one the urge towards synthesis, toward the resolution of the various polarities that cause such conflict by finding a point of unity. So I would think the fourth ray soul is the peacemaker on a very high level sort, the one who finds unity.
Yes, and it's strange that we have to go through conflict to find unity. You would think that's, and you know, that comes up in the very opening question, that why is it possible to have harmony without conflict? But maybe it isn't, because in order to arrive at a state of beauty and harmony, one must bring in those energies of the soul to provide that
choice,
or the energy of love, which draws out the best in one. And so it's in this conflict seems to be a situation that has to be set up in order to move one, as we said earlier, off that tendency to for the ease and love of pleasure, and get off that point of inertia that often sets in when before the soul energies really make an impact.
One prime example of an experience of conflict leading toward harmony might be the World War, when the whole planet, it seemed, was in at war with itself. And out of that war came something much better, if we have a sense of history. Nations were liberated from colonialism. Great evil was driven back into its corner in the sense of the Axis nations, and the United Nations was formed as a result of the ending of the war. So we do see that conflict can lead towards something higher, but it does cause suffering, and it's part of the essential human experience. In fact, there's a scriptural writing that Alice Bailey quotes from an ancient scripture that really, to me, speaks to the nature of the fourth ray. It said that the Great One fought and entered into combat. All that he met appeared to him a subject for display of power. He found a field of battle and settled down to fight. He saw the right and knew the wrong and vibrated between the two, fighting first one and then the other, but missing all the time that midway point where battle is not known. There harmony, ease, rest, and peaceful silence will be found. He weakened all the forms which used his strength and power, yet all the time he sought for beauty. He searched for loveliness and yearned for peace. Despair overtook him in his courses, and with despair the will to live could not survive, yet all the time the loveliness was there. To me, that's just the essence of the human experience and aspiration for a better way of life. For a very long time, we choose wrongly, but we have some dim sense of a higher way, and blindly at first we grope our way through that and toward it. And gradually we do find a point of reconciliation of all the various apparent poles of opposites. And that's why the Buddhist message of the Noble Middle Way is so true. We have to find that point of unity.
I think that's what people are struggling with today. I mean, probably everyone who is listening to this has gone through some kind of struggle in their lives, and maybe that's why so many students that we in touch with think they're all on the fourth ray, because they're all going through kind of struggle of some kind. And well, everybody does, because it's a part of the human condition, and it's just kind of something we have to work through. But it's if one can persist, one will come out on the other side.
Yes, to go back to that ancient scripture again, it says that the love of unity must dominate, and love of peace and harmony, yet not that love based on a longing for relief or for peace to self, for unity because it carries that which is pleasantness. We have to see that both sides are one. There is no war, no difference, and no isolation. The warring forces seem to war from the point at which we stand, but move on apace, see truly with the opened eye of inner vision, and you will find not two but one, not war but peace, not isolation but a heart which rests upon the center. What a lovely thought, if we could just make our way through the conflict that we live in, knowing that the ultimate outcome is going to be a point of complete synthesis, where we find no enemies, no battle, a higher way that is completely unified. That's our goal. But we can't just sit out the battle. We have to, at every stage of the way, make choices and take responsibility for the choices.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the book, the Alice Bailey book, The Seven Rays of Life, which is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books by Alice Bailey. Once again, it's called The Seven Rays of Life. What you need to do is send a check or a money order, $15, to Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a check or money order, $15, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And make sure that you ask for the book, The Seven Rays of Life. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.